thankful to the Lord this morning for His blessings and His faithfulness to us. I was encouraged and blessed by the Sunday school this morning. I'm so thankful that the Lord knits our hearts together in love. I'm thankful for the family of God, and I'm thankful to be able to be a part of God's people. I want to be a blessing. I want to allow the Lord to have His way. I ask that you pray the Lord to bless His word this morning, what He's given me, that it be a blessing and a challenge to us. I've written on the board the blessing of obedience. I'd like to begin in the book of John, the third chapter. We start hearing about obedience, we should, from a young age. It's not always something that I enjoyed hearing. It wasn't my favorite word when I was a child. It was something that my parents had to remind me of in different ways, that I would remember, that I would understand the value of importance. And it was, as I mentioned, it wasn't always something that I enjoyed. It wasn't always a word that I took pleasure at or that I fully understood the value of at the time. I can remember hearing others say, maybe sometimes a parent will tell a child, you know, I look back now and I appreciate every discipline that I received. Every spanking, every discipline that I received, because now I see the value of it. Boy, that was sure hard to understand. Or imagine that one day maybe that would be me saying that as well. But you know, as I get a little bit further down the road, I can look back and realize that it wasn't a curse. It wasn't something to chafe under or something. There was a value to it that I didn't always understand at the time. So I'd like to look here at Jesus' words in John chapter 3. Jesus gave and imparted many, chapter 13, imparted many different lessons and teachings and some things that were so contrary to what people understood and the ways of man, the ways of the flesh, that which seemed right unto man. It contradicted that so many different times. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount that ye have been taught this, but I say unto you this. You've been heard that it's been taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, I have something new to teach to you. Something new to impart unto you. Well, if all the words that Jesus taught, imparted, they were a blessing, they were valuable, was it Nicodemus, I believe, that went back and said, never a man spake as this man speaks. There's something about the words that he speaks that they witnessed, they had weight to them, they had power behind them in the words to be able to convict and convince and give understanding to the needs of their hearts and their lives. But it says here in John 13 and beginning here in the 15th verse, this was whenever Jesus had washed feet, the Lord's Supper here, the foot washing time that we still observe. We understand that it was something that Jesus was trying to preach a message. He was trying to teach a lesson through the action that He did here, through the example that He set, not only in word to say love one another, not only in word to say humble yourselves one to another, but to demonstrate it in a lesson that they would carry with them. So He says, I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Whenever you read the word blessed, blessed is the peacemaker. And blessed throughout that sermon there that we read of Jesus, that word blessed means how happy. There's happiness, there's a blessing that's associated with it. If you follow this example, Jesus here saying, if you do these things, it's one thing and it's a blessing to behold it for yourself. But if it stops there, that's not enough. If you just hear the words that I say unto you, that's of limited value to you. Jesus, we read many times, would say unto those that he was preaching and ministering unto, he that hath ears, let him hear. If you have ears that are able to receive, or a heart that's able to receive my words, and you're able, you're willing to hear it beyond just the words that you hear, but you're willing to let these things sink down deeply into your heart, you're willing to apply them then unto your life and unto your heart, you're happy. You're blessed. We sing a song, number 207 in the book. His yoke is easy. It says that, the fourth verse, my flesh recoiled before the cross, and Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. You know, the enemy wants to present to our minds, wants to present to the sinner's mind, the way of God is hard. It's difficult. It's a way of self-denial and a way of sacrifice. The enemy can take truth and mix it with error. It is a way of self-denial. It is a way of sacrifice. But do you know there's blessing with it? The greatest blessing that we can realize in our life is with this way. But the enemy wants to come to us and cause this idea of obedience to be in our minds as something that I think of a straitjacket. I think of being restricted. I think of being forced to do something that I just have to do. And maybe I don't want to do it, but okay, I've got to obey. Because with that, there is the idea of submission. I have to submit myself unto something else that may be contrary to my way, maybe contrary to the things that I want to do, but I'm going to obey that. I'm going to submit to a higher authority. And the enemy's right there to say it's not worth it. To paint a picture that says it's something other than what it really is. Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. But it says his yoke is easy. His burden is light. I found it so. I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow. Oh, would that the Lord would help us to understand that his ways are right. To understand that his ways are perfect, and by following his law, by submitting ourselves unto his ways and unto his word, it is our sweetest delight. Yes, there may be some sacrifice. There are going to be times that I have to say no many times to my own way, to my own self. But Jesus said, if you do these things, if you'll be willing, so don't, what did he say in another place? If any man love me, if you say that you love me, and there were at times many people that would claim and call themselves disciples of Jesus. Remember the time that he fed the thousands? And after that, they found him again. And he said, you don't follow me because you did see the miracle and believed. Or it's not because it entered into faith. It's not by faith. It's not because your life and your heart has been changed. It's not because you are looking for more of the truth. But you're following me because you were filled. You follow me because there's benefit unto you. But the time came that those that followed him for that purpose soon fell away. They weren't there whenever the hard times came, whenever the times of self-denial, the times of sacrifice, the times of ridicule, the times of hardship came. They weren't there. They fell away. And he said, if you love me, don't just witness it by your words. You know what the scripture says of our words? Ecclesiastes 5:1 bears out that words of themselves are the sacrifice of fools. With multitude of words, it's easy to be able to say, Lord, I love you. To be able to say, I love the brethren. But the scripture, I believe in 1 John, it says, let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth. Let it be evidence. Let it be witness. Not only in the words that I say, not only that I say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, that sounds good. Lord, I enjoyed that message. Lord, I enjoyed hearing the truth of your word. But that I would not only do that, but that I would be a doer of the word. That I would say, Lord, help me to accept that into my life. Not just to hear the words and offer the sacrifice of fools, but to say, Lord, I want to conform. I want to submit myself unto your ways, to be obedient unto the Lord. If you love me, witness it by this. Keep my commandments. Follow them. Measure yourself to them. Accept it into your life. Swallow it. Eat it and allow it to become part of you. And he said, if you do that, you're blessed. There's a blessing that comes with it. There's joy that comes with it. Whenever the enemy says, you do that thing the Lord's asking of you, you're going to be miserable. You give that thing up that the Lord has put his hand on, you're not going to be satisfied. What are you going to do? You ever found yourself in a place like that, that the Lord says, will you give this up for me? Will you give me this? I want you. And sometimes it's by a suggestion. One is, as we go along, consider what obedience requires of us. Sometimes it's just a suggestion. I'd be pleased with you if you'd do this. If you'd be blessed if you do this. If you'd give this thing up for me. What does the enemy do? Right there on the heels of that, to fight it. Right there on the heels, I would just say, you can't do that. You can't give that up. But if we come to a place that I will obey, that I'll submit myself unto the Lord to say yes, Lord, I will. Lord, I'll give. Lord, I'll do that. You know, the Lord has a way of filling that void. The Lord has a way of the very thing that I say, how could I give that up? Maybe I find pleasure in this thing. How, you know, the Lord has a way of backfilling that with something far sweeter, far greater than the thing that I gave up. But the enemy's not gonna, if he can help it, not gonna allow us to see that picture. The enemy wants to paint a dark picture of what obedience to the Lord is. And I believe that he'd like to get us into a place as well. Not just the children under their parents, but in ways in our life that we also think of the Lord, of obedience as being a hard thing. Obedience as being something that I sigh and I grumble and I moan and I dread and I put off and I procrastinate and I don't want to do it. But I want us this morning to be encouraged and be reminded that there is a blessing of obedience. There is a blessing that comes along with following the Lord. Happy are ye if ye do these things. Let's look at, well, we'll refer to it maybe for time's sake. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Story of the first king of Israel, one that the Lord had put his hand on, that he had called. He had been anointed to be king over God's people, and he was small in his own sight to start out. The Lord was able to bless him, and his hand was upon him. But the time came whenever the Lord sent him out against, was it the Amalekites, and said, you go up and you don't spare anything. You don't spare the oxen. You don't spare the cattle. You don't spare the people. And by that time, he had gotten to a place that he wasn't as small in his own eyes. Whenever he decided to take some things upon himself that didn't belong unto him, and he chose to spare the choicest of the cattle and of the oxen. And you know, he did a lot of good. He did a lot of what the Lord had asked of him to do. He went out to battle and he organized and he went forth and he conquered the people. But is 98% really obedience? He wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do, but he wanted to do it his way. Far too often it's easy to say, Lord, I want offering up the sacrifice of fools. Lord, I want, yes, Lord, I want to go your way. Lord, I want to be a disciple of Christ. The idea today of what a Christian is has been so watered down that it almost means nothing to our world today. But for me to say, I want to be a Christian, I want to be like Christ, I want to follow you, I want to be a disciple of Christ, that it not just be in word, that it not just be 98%. Lord, I want to, but I want to do it my way. Does that work for our children? That's not what full obedience and submission is that I believe the Lord is looking for from us. It said, whenever the prophet came and finally met up with Saul, Saul had to reckon with the decisions that he had made. And we know the story. He started backpedaling a little bit. He started making some excuses, trying to push off the blame on the people. First off, trying to say, oh, I've done what the Lord wants me to do. It's easy for us sometimes to say, I'm pleasing the Lord. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Lord, help me to be faithful and to be diligent. It's not a time that I'm searching and trying to examine you, but every man working out his own salvation in fear and trembling. Lord, I want to know that my life is measured to what you're asking me to do, that I am obeying you. So whenever he came and Saul had to try to say, I didn't do it, Samuel said, what's that sound I hear? There's evidence here that you're not there, that you didn't follow and submit 100% to what the Lord asked of you to do. And then he went on to tell him that to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better to do that than to just go out and to do your own thing or to say or to have good intentions. There's something more valuable to the Lord than that. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It's more pleasing unto the Lord. It's better than being, oh, but Lord, I'll sacrifice. I'll do this for you. I'll give. I'm going to do it my own way. But Lord, I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to show you my sincerity here. I'm going to go 99% of the way. But over here, maybe I'll go a little extra for you. The Lord wants us to find the blessing of obedience. What Saul found was a curse. What Saul found in taking his own way and not obeying the word of the Lord, he found a curse and he found separation from the voice of the Lord. He found desolation, loneliness, and being forsaken. There is a blessing in obeying the Lord. Saul wasn't the only one. The enemy's been whispering to people from the start of time. He whispered to Eve and said, it's not as the Lord told you. There's something more selfish underlying this. There's began to appeal to her reason, began to appeal to her desires, to her pride. Said the Lord's doing this because He doesn't want you to be wise. And so she, as we know and understand, she disobeyed. The enemy whispered to the children of Israel before they went into Canaan land, "You can't do it. You're not able to face that. You're not able to perform that which the Lord had already commanded." Had already commanded and with that promised. You know, the Lord doesn't command without having the grace to go along with it. The Lord doesn't ask of us something without having the power and the grace, if I'm willing to submit myself unto it, that He'll match with it. And the blessing that'll come from it, oh, I wonder how it could have been different for the children of Israel had they listened to the two. Had they not listened to the gainsaying and the dark picture that was painted and said, "Yes, we're well able, let's go in and possess this land." Instead of finding 40 years wandering in the desert and all of them except two dying in the wilderness. He whispered to a rich young ruler. Remember that? Whenever he came and he felt a need in his life and in his heart, and I'm pretty sure that he felt that very keenly. Because you read in one account that he came running unto Jesus, asking Him, "What must I do to obtain eternal life?" But there was something that drew back. There was something whenever the Lord said what He required of him. And you know, I can maybe understand that. That seems to the flesh. That seems unreasonable. Lord, how could you ask me to give everything? I can't give everything. I've got to take care of that. I've got to provide that. This is who I am, Lord. I can't. And he left very sorrowful of heart. You think the Lord, if he would have followed the Lord, if he would have said, "Yes, Lord, I don't know how, I don't know why you're asking of this, but I'm going to obey. I'm going to submit to you," and that, you think the Lord would have left him to be desolate on a street as a beggar? You think he would have left him without the means to provide for himself? There's a blessing in obedience. Jesus, or the scripture says in Malachi, said, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring yourself unto me. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that you're not able to receive it." Looking at the children of Israel, you fast forward. Those years that they wandered in the wilderness, and they raised up another generation of the time that now they came to the banks of the Jordan again. Now the proving time again. You know what the Lord told them? You read over there the account, and it says that he instructed the priest, "You step foot into the water." And whenever they would step foot into the water, then the waters parted. You know, many times I want to say to the Lord, "Lord, I don't know why you're asking this. Lord, if you'll work this out first, then I'll obey you. Lord, if you make it all clear and apparent to me, then I'll step out. If you make it easy for me, Lord, then I'll give it up for you. Lord, if you make it to where I don't want it anyway, then I'll give it up for you." You know, the Lord's wanting obedience. And whenever I'm willing to say, "Yes, Lord, yes, I will," and I'm willing to put a foot forward, and I'm willing to step out in obedience to the Lord, you know, he can make the waters part. But he's looking for me to obey. I want to remind us also of 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17. Turn and read this. There were 10 lepers that came unto Jesus, plagued by the disease of leprosy. Luke 17 and 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You ever stop and think about that? You know, Jesus could have spoken the word. Jesus could have reached out and touched them, and their leprosy was completely cleared up. He could have worked that way. But you know, for some reason, Jesus looked to them and he spoke to them and said, Go show yourselves unto the priest. You know what the reason for that was? You read back under the old law, and they had to go show themselves unto the priest for the priest to be able to declare them clean. Lord, I can't go to the priest yet. I still have leprosy. You haven't done anything for me. You know, it's easy for our minds sometimes to work that way. Lord, you heal me first, and then I'll go show myself unto the priest. But it's foolishness for me to step out and go to, here I am going to go show myself to the priest, and I have leprosy. But the Lord was asking for obedience. The Lord wasn't asking them to figure out how it was going to work. But he said, you just go. You go and show yourselves, and as they went, the Lord did the work. As they stepped out and they were willing to go forth in obedience, may the Lord help us today in our walk with Him. At times, whenever the flesh would try to draw back, whenever we feel the Lord calling for something in our life, we feel the Lord checking us or dealing with us on something, that I not turn away from that, but that I would step out in it. Lord, maybe I don't know how you're going to answer this. I don't know how you're going to work in this. But if thy voice I hear before me, fearlessly I'll follow thee. And folks, whenever you step out and put your foot in the water, the Lord will part it. The Lord will work it out. The Lord will make a way for us. But there is a part that we have to play. Oh, the Lord does the work. The Lord does what we could not do, but the Lord wants us to do what He cannot do, which is submit. Because He's given us a will, and He's given us the power of choice and the power to say no to Him because of His love for us. Because He loves us and He wants us to have a free will to follow Him out of the love of our hearts. To believe Him. To know whenever He asks of something that He means best. That He'll work it for our good. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Saith, I know what my thoughts are. And as He's looking down and wanting and calling for something, asking for something in our life, and He's saying, in my mind, if you'll allow me, He's saying, I know why I'm asking this of you. I know why I'm putting my finger on this in your life. You want all the answers today. You want to be able to see it clearly. You want to understand it. Child, just trust me. Just trust me and obey. Haven't you learned by now? Haven't we learned that whenever the Lord speaks, that it's in sweetness and tenderness and love? Whenever the Lord calls for something, have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever come to a place that I finally, maybe I've had to fight and I've had to struggle and I've had to have my Garden of Gethsemane moments. But then I come to a place that I say, yes, Lord. Have you ever been disappointed? And say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have submitted to the Lord in that place. Song number 299 says, I'll say the great word. My feelings are given to Father's control. His wisdom shall govern my body and soul. His word is sufficient I seek not a sign. I grasp but the promise, and Jesus is mine. What is the great word? I've sung this so many times and wondered, what is the great word? What's it talking about here? Best that I can understand, the great word is right in the middle there. I'll say the great word, the word the Lord is waiting for. The word that the Lord, the one thing, if I can say it that way, that the Lord can't do, is say yes for us. He's waiting for us to say yes. I'll say the great word, yes. I'll say the great word, yes. Isaiah 1, familiar with this promise that the Lord has given us in Isaiah 1, verse 19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. There it is laid out before us. If you want the good of the land, there's a requirement on your part. I'll give you the land. I'll fight the battles for you. I'll take down the walled cities for you. I'll conquer your giants. But you've got to do your part. You've got to say yes. You've got to be willing to put your foot into the Jordan River. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, your word is sufficient. I seek not a sign. Lord, I don't. Heart rest, heart cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. Lord, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know how I can follow you maybe in this, or how I can fully obey in a greater measure here. But Lord, your word is sufficient. I grasp at the promise. Let's go forward on that. Rebellion is an ugly thing. It's as a sin of witchcraft, Samuel told Saul. It's easy for me to say, I'd never be rebellious. Lord, I'm not rebellious. I want to do your will. I want to follow you. Of course I do. I want to go to heaven. But you know, rebellion can mask itself. Rebellion can demonstrate itself in different ways in our life. Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, I believe this was a picture of the Jews versus the Gentiles. But I think there's a lesson in it here for us. 21 and 28 of Matthew, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So it wasn't just the words that they said. It wasn't just those that said, Yes, Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I'll be your disciple. Yes, Lord, sign me up. I'll go. But it is those that do the will of the Father. Not only those, and folks, this is where rebellion can begin to hide itself in our life if we're not careful, and begin to work in subtle ways that I say, oh yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, oh, that's good, Lord. That's good. I want that. Lord, I'll follow after that. Lord, one of these days, I want to get there. I want to get to that place. But I don't really go. I don't really ever step my foot out and say, Lord, I want to claim that. Lord, I want to do that. I want to take care of that. It can hide itself with good intentions and procrastination. Lord, I had every intention. I had every purpose in my heart of doing that. But at the end of the day, it's not what the purpose and the intention was. But it's, did I obey? These two signs, it wasn't the one. The Lord was able to forgive the rebellion of the one that went and turned around and actually did what the Father had asked of him to do. Rebellion can hide itself with a lack of desire to hear and learn. Sometimes we hear folks say, maybe they hear someone else saying something they did a little shady or a little underhanded, and you ever see someone plug their ears, la 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 la. Don't want to hear that, because if I do, there's a responsibility within me. If I hear something that binds a responsibility on me, if I know you went and broke the law somewhere, I know I'm supposed to. So let me just turn my eyes and I'll plug my ears and then I'll be able to say I didn't know anything about it. You know, people are like that sometimes with the Lord. I don't really have a real desire for the things of God. I don't really have a real longing to hear the Word of God, because there's responsibility that comes with it. I remember as a child and young person growing up, I remember something that stuck out in my mind so much. Minister that made a comment something to this effect, that if we have the opportunity to go to service, not talking about the circumstances that would prevent us from being able to go, but if I have the opportunity and I just really don't want to go, and I choose and make decisions in my life that keeps me out of service when I would have the opportunity, do you think that absolves me from the responsibility that I have to the Word of God? Whenever the Lord is trying to give me something, and a little bit of rebellion or lack of obedience or desire within me says, I just don't really want to hear it. If I go, I'm going to be responsible for it. And maybe you hear someone say, well, I just don't understand that. No, I don't understand it. I don't know why the saints teach that. I don't understand. And all the while, figuratively speaking, I've got my fingers in my ears saying all the while, I don't understand it. And the Lord, able to see through it all, saying, I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. There's something else here. There's not just ears that are, you know, the thing of selective hearing, and sometimes we want children to go clean their ears out and all. Sometimes it's the thing that they don't want to hear, that they don't hear very well. And it's the things that they do want to hear that they pick up on very quickly. Those things that sometimes maybe I like that. Oh, that's challenging. That's ooh, I don't like that so much. Think I'll just skip over that and kind of pick and choose the things that I want here. There is a blessing to obedience, and it will manifest itself in our lives, because the Lord doesn't just ask for things of our life with no purpose and no desire in it. The Lord has a plan for us to bear forth more fruit. And if I'll submit myself unto Him, if I'll obey, if I'll seek to hear what the Lord's voice is, isn't that a truly obedient heart? To say, what do you want me to do? Here's what I thought you wanted. Is that really what you want, Lord? Are you pleased with this? I want to know. Lord, I want to come and I want to hear your word. I want to hear the exhortations, and I want to put myself in a place that I can hear and understand the word of the Lord. I'm not afraid anymore of obedience. I'm not afraid of submission. I'm not afraid of hearing something from the word of the Lord that might obligate me to have to measure myself to it. You know, whenever my heart is in that kind of place, I don't have the right vision and perspective, because there is a blessing in obedience. And the Lord wants to bestow that upon us. Jesus, looking out over Jerusalem, lamented Jerusalem. Said, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, but you would not. But he said of Jerusalem, they were they which stoned the prophets, that rejected those that were sent unto them. Now, I've seen sometimes children, again, Maybe a mom and a dad will say, go tell your brothers. Go tell your sisters that I said this. Go share this. Go tell them to come here that I want them. Go tell them that I asked them to go do that. And then you can kind of hear when they get there, I'm not doing that. I don't have to obey you. I don't have to obey what you said to me. You know, the enemy wants to work with the word of the Lord that way. Well, that's just, I never did really like that preacher. I never did really like that minister. I don't have to do that if I don't want to. Folks, there can be a rebellion that crops up within our hearts. And I say, well, of course it's not man that I'm obeying. But you know, if the Lord truly sends, the Lord inspires and He sends a message for me, if I say I reject what you're saying, is it any different than a child that says, I'm not going, when the other child was just sent from the Lord, from the parents to say, here's the message for you? It's really not your brother that you're rejecting. It's the parent that you're rejecting. Because the message was sent through them for you. So may the Lord help us that we would have a heart of obedience. A heart with a desire that says, yes, Lord, I want it. And of course there's a balance to it. Of course it is the word of the Lord. If there's ever a message that comes of man, that is of man, that we go as the Bereans and we search it out and we study the scriptures and realize that's not the voice of the Lord. We're under no obligation to follow that. But it does please the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to send forth His message, to inspire and send forth the message that He wants. And it can be so easy for me to miss it. It can be so easy for it to just go over my head. The desire is not there. Or I'm looking at it as being a person and a face or someone I'm so familiar with. And I don't really get a hold of the essence of what the Lord has. I want to remember Peter also. Remember, the Lord came to Peter, and Peter was a professional fisherman. If anybody knew how to fish, it was Peter. But he had one night that wasn't a real good night for his fishing. Jesus came along and told him to launch out into the deep at a time of day that you don't launch out into the deep. To cast your nets on the other side when here 20 foot on the other side, I've already done that. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. Lord, we have toiled all night. Remember that? He said, we've done, Lord. Do you remember what He followed that up with? Lord, we've toiled all night. Nevertheless, at Thy word. Lord, at Your word, I'll go. At Your word, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. But Lord, at Your word, I'll follow and I'll obey and I'll cast the nets in. Remember what happened? Nets started breaking. Folks, that's the way it is with obedience. There is a spiritual blessing that comes with obedience that only the Lord is able to give and that only the Lord will give as I follow Him in obedience. I'd like to close in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms 19 and 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I'm thankful today for the reward. There is in following the Lord greatest satisfaction and blessing that we can ever find in being in a place of obedience and submission to the Lord. In keeping, notice it didn't say in keeping of thy word, there's bondage, there's captivity, there's regret, there's sorrow. In keeping of the word of the Lord, there truly is great reward. May God bless each one. Amen.